Amen. So I come from not a big family. I have two brothers and one sister. And the youngest of my brothers turned 19 2 years ago. So he's 21 now. But for his 19th birthday, we got to go bungee jumping. Okay, so how many of you guys have ever, show of hands, how many of you guys have ever gone bungee jumping? Nobody? Nobody. Did I see one back there? You did. Awesome. Okay, so one person in this whole room, that's great. So when we went, it was his 19th birthday, and it was super fun, super nerve-wracking. It's the biggest bungee jump in Canada. It's located in Quebec, and it's 200 feet, and you're jumping into this quarry, kind of like there's water at the bottom, and it's 200 feet, though, and you're like, oh my goodness, what in the world is going to happen? I really hope I trust this rubber band to hold me. That's kind of what it feels like. So you're getting strapped up, and they ask you your weight. They ask you, you know, what size you should be for, and they have a system for it, and it's like, okay, I'm trusting all this. And then you get up, and I happened to be last in line. So there was a group of probably 20 people that I saw jump, and I got to see them do it first. But when I finally came to the point of no return, where I was strapped in, I had my legs in this rubber band, and I went to jump, I knew there was no going back, right? And the only thing that I could do in that moment, there wasn't like a, oh my goodness, this is crazy, like as you're jumping off of a cliff 200 feet. It's not like a methodical thing that you're thinking about, right? The only thing I knew to do was to yell. So, you watch the video. I have a video. I don't have the video here, but if you ask me afterwards, I can probably show you the video. I just yelled, like, the loudest I ever can. It was probably sounded like a little girl. Like, it was like, oh, my goodness. What is Caleb doing? My goodness. So, we all had a really fun experience. We all did it. But that point of no return, where you're thinking about doing it, you're about to jump off this cliff, trusting that this band is going to hold you, and the only reaction that I had was to yell. And we're going to talk about worship today, but I want to bring us into this space where we're starting to think about how do you react when things are unexpected. So maybe it's something small. Maybe there's like food in the room and you're just like, oh my goodness, that smells so good. Or maybe it's in life there have been things that have happened that are more serious. Maybe we have reactions in life that just sort of happen in the moment. Maybe it's weeping, maybe it's laughing, maybe the list goes on, right? There's tons of things that we can do to react in the moment towards certain things that happen in life. They can be big or small. And worship, which we're going to talk about today, is one of those things that when we look at it, there is an intentional act of worship. Like we come here on a Sunday morning, we pour our hearts out to God, we sing songs that are really important to the congregation, to the body, and we encourage each other. But worship is our response to God. Worship is always a response to what God has done in our lives. And we have the choice of whether or not we want to worship. We have the choice whether or not we want to engage in this practice of worshiping God with our whole heart and with our voices and everything else. But worship is always our response to God. We're going to turn to Luke 18, 9 to 14. It should be up on the screen here, but if you have your Bibles, you can feel free to turn there. So Jesus was notorious for calling out, excuse my language, bull crap in people. And he had this way of saying things to people and calling out when people were either prideful or kind of had things in their life that he knew were not true. So he was really good at calling out hypocrisy. And there were these people in this ancient time in Israel that were called the Pharisees. And Jesus always addressed the Pharisees. It felt like he was really, really hard on the Pharisees, and he was really, really easy on everybody else. But these Pharisees that kind of knew the religious law and had all the right answers, there were tons of things that they knew but didn't really know how to put them into practice. And so Jesus would address them with different stories and different things that he would talk about throughout the run of a day, whether it be people following him or, you know, the Pharisees would kind of ask him a question and then he would like stump them with his answer, and it's amazing. So you read the book of Jesus. You read the book of Luke, and you go to chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. That's where we're gonna settle here for a second. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, the Pharisees, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but instead beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So Jesus addresses the Pharisees with this question, and the Pharisees are asking, you know, how do we worship God? What is a different way that maybe you're telling us to worship God? And he addresses this by saying that the most important thing, and what I believe this story hits on, is the fact that our posture in worship is more important than our position in life. So when we think about the things that happen in our life, there's tons of things that happen to us that don't determine our value in the kingdom. Like we could have the worst life imaginable. Everything could go wrong in life. We could be like Job, and every single thing that happens every single day could be bad. But we still have the opportunity to worship. And the Pharisees, it kind of felt like they had everything figured out as far as life is concerned. But Jesus is addressing that even this tax collector, who at the time would have been looked down upon, would not have been considered somebody that people would have trusted, he's saying that his response to God was one that was honoring to him. It was not about the position, it was about the posture that we take in worship. And when we choose as people to have a posture in worship and just say, God, I'm all yours, and wholeheartedly engage in worship, whether it be songs, whether it be waking up at 5 a.m. in the morning, maybe some of you guys do that already, and worshiping God, maybe singing a song, or maybe it's just belting it out in the shower. I don't know if you guys are like that. Maybe it's belting it out and like you're super off key. I don't know what it is for you, but there are different ways that we can worship God. And we're gonna dive into the practical here in a few minutes. But the thing that we need to start with before we get into practical application of how we can actually worship God is we need to start with the heart. And our posture in worship is more important than our position before people. So our posture is really important. We need to understand that God is more impressed with our humility. And in the humility that we exude before God, it allows us to recognize the beauty of who God is, the beauty of his sacrifice. The more that we continue to recognize that we are sinners and that we have things wrong with us, the more that we can accept God's gift for us. When we focus on God, our response should always be humility. Also, this is just a side note. For those of you that have that sheet in front of you, there will not be a test at the end, just so you know. I'm just letting you guys know. If it's helpful, you can use it. If not, you can look at the slides. You can feel free to do whatever you want with it. But point number two. Everybody say point number two. Everybody say point number two. There we go. Okay, we'll try it again. Point number two is that our response is what worship is. So when we worship, it's all about our response. So every person, like we described at the beginning, might have a different response to different things that happen in life. So if you're bungee jumping and you scream like a little girl, that might be a response that you have to things in life. But when we worship, our response is not based on what other people are thinking around us. Our response is not based on what has happened in my past. My response is not based on what's happened to me in life. My response is based on the finished work of Christ. And when we begin to recognize that God has given us everything we need to live a life of forgiveness, the fact that we're forgiven by God, that we can live in freedom, that's when we begin to experience true worship. I want to turn to Luke 6:45. So again, if you have your Bibles, and I think it should be up on the screen, feel free to look at that. So Jesus is addressing a tree and its fruit, and it says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, that's just to say that whatever we fill ourselves up with is going to come out in some way or another. So if we fill ourselves up with lots of Instagram posts, or we're constantly scrolling social media, I know that I can definitely be guilty of that sometimes. Or maybe we're watching a lot of TV, or maybe we're spending time with friends that are not really, really good for us, or maybe we're spending time outside. That might be a really, really good thing. All of the things that we do throughout the run of each and every day, every choice that we make, whether it be a habit or an intentional choice, has an impact on the way that we respond to people around us and to God. So the thing is, the way we respond is worship. If we continue to fill ourselves up with Scripture, if we continue to fill ourselves up with the knowledge of who God is, the more that that is naturally going to come out of us. It's going to be the overflow of our heart towards God, where we can't stop talking about God, whether it be on a Sunday morning we're singing praise, or whether it be on a Monday and we're waking up at 5 a.m., or whatever it is for you guys. But I want to nail down the fact that worship is always a response that we have to God. But sometimes, if we're really honest, and maybe I'm really honest, we don't have a positive response to what God has done in our life. And maybe if we're sitting here today, maybe you're like, man, I just don't have anything good to say about what God has done in our life. Maybe you're mad at God. Maybe there's that reality in your life too. And I just want to encourage you. There was a guy in Scripture, and you guys probably know his name. His name was King David. David was a really, really good example of someone who sought after God no matter what, even when things were tough. And no matter what happened, you read through the book of Psalms. David is accredited with a lot of the Psalms being written by him, and in the context of Scripture, some were not even accredited to him, but he probably wrote some of the ones that weren't accredited to him. So he gets credit for a lot of these. But you read these Psalms, and you come to the recognition that David was a mess. He had a lot of problems, and there were a lot of things in his life that when you look at the way that his life kind of turned out, you're like, wow, you don't have to be mad about anything, right? Like, but in the moment, there were a lot of really difficult things for David. And what we see in the Psalms is David pouring out his heart before God. And some of it is like, God, I want you to kill these people for me. And that's like, whoa, like, I don't know if we should talk about that. But then others, it's like, you know, singing and praising God. But then there's some really, really rough stuff that you read in the context of Scripture and the context of the Psalms that give you an indication that David, he was just an emotional mess. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like an emotional mess. And if I'm really honest, I don't have a lot of good things to say about where I'm at in my faith and my walk with God. But I want to encourage you, and I want to say that when we continue to put into practice, whether it be Sunday morning worship, or whether it be, I'm going to use the example again, 5 a.m. on a Monday morning, or maybe it's singing in the shower, whatever it is, if we continue to put those things into practice, we continue to fill ourselves up with things that are good, our natural response to people and to God will be one of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And I think that is the role that we have in the Christian life, to continue to have things in our life that point us to Jesus, whether it be intentional things or just things that we've got throughout the run of a day. I know one thing that I tried for a while was I put a sticky note. It was just small. I put a sticky note on my mirror, and it had a Bible verse on it. I think it was like John 3:16. I think it was a very generic Bible verse. But I remember getting up every morning, remember seeing that verse, and it was like, okay, my day's a little bit different now. And it's not significantly different. It's not like, oh my goodness, I'm all of a sudden like a changed person. But there are little things that we can do to change our response to God. Point number three. Just say point number three. Okay, you're still with me. Awesome. Is intentionality. So this is like kind of the practical portion of the message. And this is probably my favorite portion. But I want to turn to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So if you have your Bibles again, just turn there. It should be up on the screen. So this is Paul addressing the Philippian church, and he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So that's a nice promise. Like Paul Paul promises the church that when you actually put some of these things, when you bring thanksgiving to God, when you bring your requests to God, God will fill you with his peace. And so that's a good promise. But I also want to turn to Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. So if you want to turn there, you feel free to turn there. These are, again, Paul's words. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So sometimes, like, it might be a bad attitude, like we just talked about. Sometimes in life, we just don't have anything good to say about God, and we can change that attitude. But then sometimes, like it says here, it's just the intentional effort to put in that we need to start putting in. Maybe it's we need to just start addressing the things that we're thankful for. So for instance, if I go through the run of the day and I'm thinking about all the negative things happened to me, I got cut off in traffic, I have a ton of things at work that just go horribly wrong, I get yelled at by my boss, there's all kinds of things that can happen in the run of a day that are not positive. But I would suggest, maybe a practical application, is that you turn, and when you start to get critical about what life is bringing you, you take a journal and you write down some of the things that you're thankful for. So you can say, I'm really, really thankful for the fact that I have a good church family at Transformation Church. I'm really, really thankful for the beautiful day outside. I'm thankful for the fact that I have food on my table today. That's one way of many that maybe we can continue to practice what it means to be thankful for the things that God has given us. Or maybe it means just to write down some of the things that you're going to do to change your habits throughout each and every day. Maybe it's take a 5-minute in the morning walk. Maybe it's going around the block for 5 minutes. Maybe it's a worship song, and you play, and you listen to it, and you sing as loud as you can. It doesn't have to be in the shower, but you can sing as loud as you can. Take a morning walk, write down what you're thankful for, give an invite to somebody for a coffee, and get to know them a little bit better. That'd be one of those things that might be an act of, you might be scared to do that, that might be an act of sacrifice for some of you. I don't know if that's something that you guys do all the time. Or maybe it's take a Sabbath day. Maybe it's just take a full day and just rest and rest in the presence of God and be thankful for the fact that he has done so much in your life. Maybe it's an attitude, but maybe it's a change in perspective. And sometimes what we need is the intentionality to follow through on one of those things. And you don't have to do all those things, but I would suggest maybe that's something that we can do practically. There was a study that was done a few years ago by Duke University, and it talked about how 40% of our reactions in life are not based on reactions at all. They're actually based on habit. So if you think about the run of the day, if you think about all the decisions that you make, some of the decisions are very intentional. Some of those things are things that when you get up in the morning, you're intentionally turning off your alarm, you're putting on your clothes, you're going to work. Those are all things that maybe we do, and they're intentional acts, and maybe they're even more intentional depending on how tired or how happy or whatever we are. But it said 40% of the things that we do throughout the run of every single day are not based on intentional choices, but are actually based on habit. And for some of you guys that know, what does it take to build a habit? Does anybody know how long it takes to build a habit? 21 days. That's right, 3 weeks. If you do something consistently for 3 weeks, the studies say that you can build a habit in that amount of time. So 40% of the decisions that we make every single day are habits. What would it look like if we put one of these things into practice for 5 minutes a day, or 2 minutes a day, or 1 minute a day? How would your life change? How would you become more thankful? What would change about your life? And that's only something that maybe every single one in this room can answer. But if you want to, again, there's a thing in the page there. If you want to write it down, you can. And again, I would encourage you to write it down. I did a little bit of study on this too. On a neuropsychological level, there is something that happens in the brain when you write something down. So whether it be a goal, whether it be something that you're thinking about changing in your life, studies have shown that 91% of the people that write those things down are more apt to actually change those things in their life. So people that wrote those things down, 91% of those people in this study specifically changed those things in their life. Now, that's not a foolproof thing. That's not like, oh my goodness, 91%, that's great. And studies are kind of wishy-washy. But there is something to be said about the fact that on a neuroscientific level, there's something that happens in the brain when we take that intentional act to write something down that we want to change about ourselves. And the reality is, there are some things in our life that are harder to change than others. And I want to bring us back to the second point, our response to God and the way that we respond. And it says in Luke 7:47 that those who have been forgiven much will worship much, will continue to praise the Lord throughout every season of life. And when we understand, when we come to a recognition in our hearts that every single moment, every single breath that we have is an opportunity for us to worship God. When we come to that recognition, sometimes we're more aware of it than others. Sometimes in Sunday morning, it's easier to recognize that. But the reality is, the more that we begin to recognize that, the more that our lives begin to look like the life of Jesus. So I want to encourage you, like, we can do all of these things. We can write all these things down. We can have an attempt to change. We can go to overcomers. We can have all of these different things that we're trying to do. Maybe it's a New Year's resolution. Just a show of hands, how many of you guys have ever tried a New Year's resolution? How many of you guys have ever failed at a New Year's resolution? Yeah, okay, so a lot of us have. The truth is that change is really, really hard. But I would suggest to you that the more we continue to prioritize some of these small things in our lives, the more that our lives begin to change and actually look like the things that we see in Scripture. When we read Galatians and we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of those things actually start to become who we are. It's not something we try to be. I don't try to be more loving to Randy, or I don't try to be more loving to Matthew, or I don't try to be more loving, I don't try to be more patient, I don't try to do those things. Those are things that naturally are the outcome of your worship and your response to God. I don't have a picture of him on the screen, but I want to encourage you, there's three books that if you have the opportunity to read, they're really, really beneficial. One is Celebration of Discipline, which we've been working through with this series, and Nathan has been drawing a lot of the content from. It's a really good book to read. The other one is The Practice of the Presence of God. So if you guys got the sheet, that should be at the bottom there, and that's by Brother Lawrence. That's a really good resource for practicing what it means every single day to be in God's presence and seeing the results of that. And you kind of see him walk through that as a brother in Christ. So, and then the other one, which I've done a little bit more study on myself, is Frank Lebach and Letters by a Modern Mystic. And Frank Lebach was a missionary in the Philippines, and he had this amazing way of teaching English to the people there. And he's well known not necessarily for his missionary journeys, but he's known for this book, Letters by a Modern Mystic. And what he does, what he documents, is he tries to intentionally focus every single moment of his day on God. So when he starts thinking about other things throughout the day, whether it be food and not bad things, just things that would take his focus off of God, he starts to focus his mind back on Jesus and the sacrifice that he made and the things of Scripture. And the reality is that he failed a lot. And I think sometimes, maybe in our lives, we have different things that we've tried, and it's just really hard. But what he continued to do and what you see documented here is the fact that he did it over the course of a year, first of all, but you see his mindset change towards some of the things that happen in his life. So there's things that are naturally kind of happening in everybody's life, but it's interesting, his response changes. His response at the beginning of the book is so different than what you see at the end of the book. And he documents really, really well, like it's difficult to keep your mind on the Lord at all times. And if you have the opportunity to read it, I would definitely recommend you read it. But I want to encourage us as we close that are some things, some practices in life that are really, really hard to change about ourselves. And one of the things that I want to encourage you with is the fact that when we continue to focus our lives and our hearts and our attention on Jesus, worship is a natural outflow of those things, but the more that we do that, the more that we start to actually look like the Jesus that we see in Scripture, the more that we actually start to exemplify love and patience and gentleness. I want to end with one more thing. The band can come back up. So there was a study that was done. I'm all about the studies. And it says that 100 hours a year, which works out to be about 18 minutes every day, in whatever field you choose. That could be you want to get really, really good at karate. Maybe you want to get really, really good at hockey. Maybe you want to get really, really good at guitar. Maybe you want to get really, really good at singing. Whatever it is, 18 minutes a day works out to 100 hours a year, and people say that after a year, you will be better than 95% of people, the average person, I should say, at that specific skill. And this is not to say that we want to be better than everybody else. Like, I think we want to encourage each other to be better and to grow in Christ-likeness, but the reality of what we're doing when we worship is the fact that we're giving glory to God. Our response to God is worship. And the more that we're thankful for what God has done in our lives, the more that we continue to see people differently, the more that we continue to see ourselves differently. So I want to encourage us with that word this morning. But if you're thinking about some of this and you're kind of wondering where to go, I would just encourage you to start small. If you're like, I don't really know how to worship. I mean, I listen to the radio. I listen to the Christian radio station sometimes. I think that's a good way to start. Maybe it's listening to one song every morning and just giving glory to God. Maybe it's writing down your thoughts every morning. Maybe it's journaling. But the more that we continue to do that, the more of a holy expectancy that we have on Sunday mornings when we enter into worship. And the more that we continue to focus on God's everlasting presence, everlasting sacrifice, the more that we continue to focus on Christ, the more that that is something that naturally flows out of our life. So it's not something we're trying to do. It's something that God is working in us and through us to make happen. So we'll end with prayer, and then we can worship. So.